always work with this? Yes. That's the eye. The eye that freezes reality. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Spanning the globe, through the power of the World Wide Web, it's Stacy and Steve's Cringe Fest. And now, here are your hosts, Stacy and Steve.
Here we go again, cringers. I'm Stacy.
And she's Stacy.
Somewhere out in Delaware is Steve.
Yay! How are you?
I am good. We are started the Iditarod today.
Oh, yeah?
Ceremonial start in Anchorage.
Mush, mush, woof, woof.
Yep, the Iditapuppy.
Iditapuppy?
That's what my dad used to call it.
That doesn't sound right to me.
That's my dad. I mean, this is really ridiculous.
That's disturbing.
I got a notification this morning when I woke up. I turned on my phone and it was like, hey, so parking's going to be even harder today because there was, I guess, a roof collapse on a building.
Oh, great.
And I think I know what building it was. Thankfully, I don't think it's one of Melantoni's properties.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I think it's a car dealership. Or it's either the car dealership or the Rage Room. But we've been having a lot of collapsing things. One person unfortunately passed away. A pool in Eagle River collapsed.
Oh, no.
Roof for the pool. So we've been having a lot of that. Okay,
but that's awful. But I have to ask, what is a rage room? I've heard of, what do you call the other ones? Escape rooms.
So a rage room is just a room full of breakable shit.
Oh, okay.
And they give you a bat and a time limit.
Oh, okay.
And you just go and beat the shit out of things.
Okay.
And they can have themes, like Christmas themes, if you're pissed off. And I'm sure there's an office theme for
Yeah. You know, I suppose any room could be a rage room. I mean,
yes, but this isn't your property. This is somebody going to Goodwill, getting a whole bunch of crap, and then letting you go bat shit crazy.
I get literally. That. But if you don't want to pay the fee, you just say, okay, this fancy dining room with this nice china closet is a rage room. Pay us to come here and beat up our stuff.
So how are you, Steve? Sounds like you need a rage room.
No, I'm happy.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy. I'm very happy. You're the one that needs the rage. You need a rage room in your car. The last few times we've talked on your way home, I like hang up and I'm worried about you. Because
if I was quiet, then you should be worried. I'm not quiet. Safety. But when I'm quiet,
No, it's not your rage. It's justified rage.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, if I wasn't saying stuff out loud, then I think you should be careful.
If you keep it in, that's
yeah. Let it out. That's safe.
It's pretty fun to listen to you drive.
If somebody wants to join in on a phone conversation at 5 o'clock on an Alaska Standard Time, sure, you too can enjoy my 15-minute drive home.
Not safe for work. I would put that out there.
I don't know. My work's pretty fucking cool. I work with EMS and paramedics. No such thing as not missing.
My sister worked in she was a operating room nurse for several years, and she used to tell these stories about once the patient gets under, how the doctor's language would change. And they'd get pretty salty. You know, most of them had military training. They weren't certainly weren't politically correct back in those days.
And speaking of politically correct, the movie we watched, I picked.
Oh, we're going to talk about a movie?
Yeah, we always should. I mean, that's kind of what people are tuning in for, at least thought. I think they do. It's a little racy.
I thought they tuned in for our witty banter.
Our witty banter about movies.
Oh, okay.
It's a little racy. It's a little avant-garde, if you will.
It is very avant-garde.
It's based off a comic book in Italy.
A graphic novel, yeah.
Graphic novel, sorry.
No.
My bad.
No. I'm sorry, I wasn't correcting you. I was just...
It's all good.
It's all the same.
Yeah. It's beautifully done. Baba Yaga from 1973.
Yeah, Baba Yaga. I'll give you a little... I'm going to give you the whole rundown here in a minute, but I'll give you a little preview to the graphic part of the graphic novels. I rewatched it because the last time when you and I watched it together, I kind of tuned out about halfway through, and I found myself tuning out when I rewatched it today.
Oh no.
It was about the same point. I had to remind myself, wait, this is why you're doing this, because you tuned out last time.
Well, it is subtitled. It is in it's Italian. So just be aware, cringers, if you are going to watch it.
If you're somebody that doesn't speak Italian and
doesn't like subtitles.
It doesn't like subtitles.
But I've gotten used to subtitle or closed captioning anyway, because, oh my goodness, the gems in the closed captioning.
Oh, there's some hysterical stuff.
Oh,
yeah. The helicopter goes, whir. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good. So my preview is the when I rewatched it this time, I took a nipple count. There are 10 nipples, 5 pairs of nipples. Was not an odd number. They never showed just one. They showed both. 8 female and 2 male nipples in the entire movie. Although those 8 female nipples are shown over and over and over again. I mean, just those women never have their shirts on in this movie. And it's not like highly charged sexual softcore porn.
No, it's a photographer taking pictures for fashion magazines.
Yeah. But she's naked. The photographer's naked as many times as the models. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got out of it. So before we get started, though, we got a voicemail.
I know, and I haven't heard it yet. I'm very excited.
Okay. You're supposed to act surprised. I'm supposed to say.
Well, I am surprised because
voicemail, and you're going to go, oh, that's great.
No. Oh my gosh, we have a voicemail. I'm just super excited because I didn't. I'm happy people are calling in.
No, that's great. That's great. This is from a new listener. And, you know, this listener just called the magic number, 401-400-2096. You can leave us a voicemail there. You can text us at that number. We listen to everyone. And we certainly enjoy getting the communication. Same with Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever missed a message on any of those platforms. We pay attention to that because it's fun.
Yeah.
That part's that's the most fun for me, that the interaction with.
I like the fact that cringers like us. I mean, obviously they wouldn't be like on the socials if they didn't like us, but it's so cool to like actually have people around.
I don't know if they like us or they just feel sorry for us. We may be getting some pity listeners.
We have pity listeners.
All right, I'm going to play this voicemail and then let's chat about it after I play it. How's that? And if you can't hear it, let me know and we'll stop and redo this.
Okay.
Hey, Stacey and Steve, new listener, Brooks here, over here in Portland, Oregon. And I was just listening to a recent episode, and I just want to thank you for all the hard work you guys have been doing there. I really don't understand why Stacey was so upset that Steve was, you know, he was just trying to promote helping out Oregon, getting rid of that whale, and, you know, feeding some hungry people over there in Boston, old Southie. Well, Steve, doing Lord's work, and keep it up. Stacey, Steve, new listener. Can't wait to see what else I hear. Love you guys. Bye.
I love Brooks. Oh, that was great.
That was, you know, I'd almost forgotten that he lives in Oregon, and we did a nice thing for Oregon, helping them get their beaches.
And he's so fun to hang out with at Scoop Fest. I have
that dead whale. Yeah.
if you haven't, we should actually try to see if we can have Hey Buddy Nice podcast on our podcast.
No, no. His is Basement Buddies.
Basement Buddies. No.
Yes.
Are you sure? So who's Hey Buddy Nice?
I am 1,000,000% sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooks has a really cool podcast. He and a couple of buddies.
And if you haven't seen his TikToks, he is so freaking funny. He's a UPS driver and does these wonderful TikToks. And sometimes he has like an evil version of himself he's a freaking hilarious TikTok watch.
He's a UPS driver that like goes to block parties in the area he delivers into or is invited to go to their block parties, dresses like Santa Claus and during Christmas to deliver packages.
He's hilarious. His Christmas cards, he always posts them on Facebook.
All right, well, we got a new listener.
Thank you.
And it's Brooks, and I'm so happy he left us a voice message, and that was fun. Yeah. And do you want to comment about the point he brought up that, you know, I'm like he said, I'm trying to do the Lord's work, and you know, you're just busting my chops about it the whole time. You're shaking your head no. Does that mean you don't want to comment?
It's so here's the people problem. Of the
Beaver State. That's
here's the problem with that is sometimes you go and you just, I try to yes and it, and I try to yes and it, and then you just go off the rails. Okay, and then I'm trying not to choke on whatever I'm trying. Because my hubby, Steve, always tells me I should yes and you more. And when I do, I get 20-minute tirades about a freaking train.
But see, we're not doing an improv show here, so you don't have to yes and me.
He gets on my case if I don't give you enough leeway.
Well, I think it would be nice if you don't interrupt me. That's different. That's courtesy versus acting. If you're just yes ending me, you're just playing, you know. I mean, it's not genuine. Yeah.
It's genuinely tears streaming down my face.
I know I've said this before, but the most fun I have on this podcast is when Stacey just breaks up.
Oh my God. And
those
6 minute trying to do an intro.
those are usually the parts I cut out because they don't translate well to an audio podcast, but it brings me much joy.
No, Steve likes showing the Howard Stale clam video on YouTube. He thinks it's absolutely hilarious. So yeah, the 6 minute trying to do an intro.
Yeah, I'll get that one put out on YouTube when we finish here.
It's on Facebook. It's like, yeah, oh my God,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Ah. Yeah, that was it. And that's typical for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that all the time. All right. Well, so let's talk about Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
I have a Russian boss, and she told me things about the Baba Yaga.
Yeah. Yeah, they
I can't pronounce it right because there's a weird little yell.
Yeah.
In the end of it, and she like I tried 7 times at least, and she kept correcting me, and I'm like, you know how sometimes you say something like send and sent, and it sounds the same to you. Trying to get me to pronounce Baba Yaga correctly, I can't hear the dip in the vowel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's really funny, but she got really excited when I told her what the movie was. She's like, oh, that's Slavic. I was like, yes, I know. So why don't you give us a rundown of Baba Yaga?
Baba Yaga is based on a graphic novel. It's an Italian movie. Basically, it's the story of a young woman who's a photographer who gets involved with this, I don't know.
Supernatural being.
Thank you. A supernatural being who is perhaps the witch that's the gatekeeper to hell. I like that line in the movie. Lots of stuff happens. She ends up in Baba Yaga's home. Baba Yaga has this horrible home, just like a creepy Addams Family kind of looking house. There's like some BDSM gear in the house. Lots of other just crap.
Animals.
Yeah, and she's got lots of animals: monkeys, snakes, bats, cats, dead stuffed birds, live birds. Very strange. Baba Yaga shows up at the woman's house, and she's, like I said, she's a photographer, and she puts some kind of magic spell on the woman's camera, which is kind of strange. People start like collapsing when the photographer is around. I think one or two times they die. She starts having these really vivid dreams that involved like Nazis and Nazis arresting Jesus and just
very avant-garde.
The avant-garde. I did not like, I don't want to get too much into what I like or don't like in this part, but the fact that the Nazis all look like characters from Hogan's Heroes really bothered me. The Colonel Klink guy with the monocle was so stereotypical, but I guess if you're dreaming, you know, maybe that's what it is. Baba Yaga gives her a doll. The doll bothered me a lot. Annette, who's it's a little porcelain child's doll, but it's dressed in BDSM gear.
Because if you haven't figured out the theme yet, Rangers,
you know, there was a lot of
sexual pretense in this movie.
There was, but the BDSM piece was pretty short. You know, there was only one time when somebody gets the whole 50 Shades of Grey treatment.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. She's got a friend who's a filmmaker. She starts confiding in him that these weird dreams are happening, but then other things are happening that seem to be kind of related to the dream. She has these things that almost are like flashbacks. But then she gets her camera back from Baba Yaga after it's been like given this enchanted spell. She develops the film and she sees images in the film of not the doll, but a full-size grown-up woman in the BDSM gear.
Poor Valentina, like, what do you do with that?
Like, yeah, right, what are you supposed
to do with this?
Right. And then she has another dream and the Nazis are there, but there's also like World War I and prior Prussians you know, with the helmets with the spikes.
They have a very interesting, like, the visuals for the war characters is very, the visuals in this movie, Cringers, is just phenomenal. Just to start with, but they take some weird turns when it comes to military.
I wouldn't limit it to military. They take some turns.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, the doll comes to life. Or at least that's what it seems like. And then she gets like captured by Baba Yaga. And then we enter a phase where like this dream world and the real world converge. Valentina is in Baba Yaga's house. She gets chained up. She gets all BDSM whipped and stuff. The filmmaker figures out that she's in trouble. It's a dark and stormy night. He makes his way to the Baba Yaga's house, picks up a big stick, climbs over the fence, whips up on everybody. And
that's some parkour bullshit, which is fucking fascinating. But yeah, goes in with a stick.
With a big stick. He's got a stick. They kill everybody. There's a big hole in the floor that they thought was like a hell mouth. Must have been a hell mouth.
Yeah.
But once Baba Yaga and the BDSM porcelain doll are dealt with, the police show up because they believe they're just like trespassers in this abandoned house. They look in the hole, the hell mouth, and it's really just a hole in the floor, the basement underneath. That's it. And then because it's a good Italian movie, at the end it says "Bean," and that's it. So that's our overview. It was an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, did you like it, Stacey? Did you like the movie?
I love the movie. I thought it was fascinating. Seeing how someone can turn a graphic novel into a movie without turning it into a Marvel movie.
Yeah. DC movie. Yeah.
Finding out that this was part of something, because the director is in theory the artist of this comic, but because he draws.
Did you find out that does the comic actually exist? I kind of got the impression it was a real.
I did, but I was having a problem finding
graphic novel. Yeah, me too.
Because a lot of the, like you said, in Wikipedia, the overview of this movie is,
oh my God,
10 times longer than your average movie.
Yeah.
And
that's very detailed.
Somewhere in there, it's got to be in that Wikipedia, but.
I think I read somewhere that the movie was adapted from the graphic novel, but it also refers to the graphic. I mean, the graphic novel exists in the universe of the movie.
Well, so it's called Guido Prepak's Valentina comic series.
Okay,
and it's the subject of her life, Valentina.
Okay.
But it's the, I guess, the condensed version. So maybe I think the definition is it's a short run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so hard to find, is because it's a short run. It's not something that is easily.
Yeah. It's not 75 years of Batman.
So yeah, Guido, maybe it's Guido Kreepax, is the artist, the actual guy who created the comic book Valentina in 1965.
Okay.
And it turned into a series of books and strips. So.
Okay.
That's why it's harder. I think that maybe that's why it's so hard for us to find it, is because of the fact that it It went from here and it exploded out back in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a new, it's not Pokemon for sure.
No. No. I love the way that the movie shows time isn't just like a clock. Yes. It's they're in the car, they're now in a cafe, they're in the car again. You get the idea that the whole day has passed.
Exactly. Just by
short little blurbs. That's cool.
I love that. I mentioned earlier, I watched it twice because I just zoned out the first time. And I really noticed that the second time. They don't waste your time. You're not riding in their car the whole 3 miles from the film location to the cafe. They are in a car. They're having a really meaningful conversation that really advances the story. But you don't watch them like turn on their turn signal, stop for gas.
It's not the American here, have everything shoved down your face.
Yeah.
The love scene between the photographer and the artist is amazing because it goes from pictures to sketches. So you get the idea that they're having sex, but nothing is ever shown.
Well, except
the facial and stuff, but
it did add to the nipple count, but this is between the filmmaker and the photographer.
Yeah. Arno.
That one. Yeah. Okay.
And Valentina.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's beautiful because they're black and white. Both things are black and white. The pictures are in black and white and the sketches are in black and white.
Yeah,
they are just.
They've taken like a frame from the movie and then show it the exact same frame in an animated panel. And then sometimes they take those panels, not animated, a still.
In sketch, yeah.
Sketch, but sometimes they take those sketches and animate them, so their faces are moving and their actions are changing within that. Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
So you know who's got the visual, whose eyes you're looking through.
Yeah, right. Which character you're seeing the scene?
Yeah.
That
is so cool. The one scene that I was watching that I was like, oh, God, Connie's going to walk into the scene. And I really don't want to have a conversation.
We need, we need a name for that. We need a name for that event when Connie walks in at an inappropriate time. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll think about it.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, thankfully, scene had ended.
Those are my favorite things. So your mother-in-law is with you several months a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is, we watch very few racy movies.
Yeah, it was very controversial for the time period.
Yeah, no, this one wasn't bad. There's a lot of nakedness, but they're just naked, fashion photography and stuff like that.
It's not the nakedness. And it's not the photography. It's the fact that it's a black man and a white woman.
Oh, that would be the problem. Okay. All right.
That would be the problem.
Do we want to say that on the podcast? Should I edit that part out?
I think we should keep it in there because it's extremely powerful for that time period. For the 1970s.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not.
But boy, wasn't he?
It was beautiful. Oh my gosh,
he beautiful. I mean, the model is gorgeous.
Oh my gosh!
But wow, the two of them together were.
Just that by itself. But thankfully, that scene had ended, and she then came out. I was like, oh my god, because I do not want to have a conversation with a 65-year-old about that scene.
Hey, be nice to 65-year-olds.
My mother-in-law's. Yes. How about that?
I'm 65.
I just don't want to have
I'm 65 also now.
How about that? Yeah. You just anyway. So, so the beautiful part about that was it just, this whole thing is a piece of art. If you really love
what's her name? Valentina is a fashion, or she's a photographer, but we find out she I think they mentioned this early. She works under several different names, and she, under one name she's a fashion photographer. On another name she shoots, you know, photos of car wrecks and things like that.
Yeah, jewelry. She goes to Baba Yaga's house to take pictures of her house and some of her jewelry. So because she takes jewelry and puts it over the stuffed bird.
Yeah.
She
does art photographs. But those scenes where she's doing the fashion photography, I thought they were really good. Because, I mean, they were... I don't know. They were
very artistic.
They were artistic, right? They're right, right. They were fashionable and artistic, right?
Yeah, you get the sense of the emotion and the intent, but there's no. Again, it's not shoving it down your throat like American movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's very obviously not American movie, but
yeah.
It was such a wonderful thing to go, oh yeah, there are people out there who actually know how to work a scene to make it look like a day has gone by without a day going by.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, we watched so many really bad movies, and this was a critically acclaimed movie. The first time I watched it, I thought it was horrible. And I should probably go back and revise my review of it, because I thought it was pretty horrible when I wrote my review. But when I rewatched it earlier today, I got it that it was me not paying enough attention to the you know, it's in Italian, it's subtitled.
There's subtle details.
Yeah, and
there are one-liners that they just throw.
And it's part of the way our brains work today, in that, you know, I finally thought to myself, all right, I have to put my phone down. I don't know Italian. I know a few of the words they're saying, but I can't skim this movie, you know?
Yeah, this is not one of those put it in the backgrounds like Saturday the 14th or any of the other wonderful.
My intention today was just to refresh my memory, you know, so I'll just put it on and I'll have something else to do. It'll be on in the background. And it's not just because it's in a different language. The movie is very deep and it deserves your attention.
Oh, yes. Yes, very much. Highly suggest this one, Cringers.
Did you notice, I'm sorry, no. Just before we go too far, did you notice toward the end of the movie, there's very little dialogue toward the end. It turns into just action.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like superhero action, but just like something happened, you see something happened, you get it, you understand it, goes to the next one. Goes to the next scene.
It's because they've already set up the whole premise earlier on in the movie. Why continue talking about Annette the doll? We already know that Annette the doll comes alive because she was taken pictures of.
We've seen her, so we're not surprised when.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't. I love the fact that they don't, like you said earlier about the time, they don't like overfeed you.
There's one scene where they have a clock and it has no hands.
And, oh, really?
I didn't know. And Valentina, when she's tied up and she's in that room and she just, how long she's been in that room? Yeah,
she's in the BDSM thing. And she's,
so you can see the anxiety and the panic on her face. And when she sees the clock has no hands on it. So she doesn't know how long she is in there.
Yeah.
And then the twist at the end.
So, but consequently, because she doesn't know, we don't know either.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so that's
we can imagine she was in there chained up for days and being whipped.
Or 3 minutes.
It was exactly.
It's so beautiful because the Arnio, or I don't know how to say his name because it's Italian, but the love interest, the lover,
the filmmaker.
The filmmaker.
I have him in my notes as FM.
Okay.
As opposed to,
so he knows that she's missing. So we get the sense of time that she's been gone long enough for people to start realizing she's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the twist at the end where all of a sudden the police officers come into the house. It's like you have the artistic moment where they're fighting Baba Yaga and he's using a stick because that's what he has.
And you know, that, beautiful. Did you notice that stick looked really rotten when he picked it up? I mean,
yeah.
It's falling off. It's all wet, but
when knotted and gnarly.
He starts using it as a weapon. I thought, okay, when he's going to swing this thing once and
it's going to crash,
it's going to break into a thousand. But it doesn't. It holds together, and he does a good job with it.
But the moment where the pit comes into action and Baba Yaga falls the hell mouth, which we all know someone's going to fall down it, and. And then it is
Schrodinger's hellmouth, right?
Yeah. Well, it's who's it going to suck down? And are they going to survive? Or are they not going to survive?
Not Schrodinger.
Chekhov's hole.
Yeah.
Then the moment she disappears, the police come in and everything changes. And
look of the film changed at that.
The look of the film, the scene film itself.
The film got brighter.
And then all of a sudden they just start looking around and everything's covered in dust and all
they say this was an abandoned house and all that stuff,
and then the cop's like looking down, no, don't jump down the hole, and of course he jumps down into the basement where
it's like 4 feet down the hole, and before she'd like dropped her film canister down and it
was never ending. Yeah. And Baba Yaga fell down it and wasn't there in the basement. But that cut scene, it was almost like, remember in The Wizard of Oz, it goes from black to white to color?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have that moment of,
it was okay. the same feeling as that, yeah.
And then the two main characters are looking at each other going, but this isn't what it was like. Like, they're staring at each other going, did we just lose our fucking minds?
Well, you know, and the whole early in the movie, she's having all these what we think are dreams, and mm-hmm. then she's having things that we think are like flashbacks, or she's losing touch with reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then
when all of a sudden it just converges,
yeah,
and it's all this was a really good movie. And
I'm
sorry that I didn't pay enough attention the first time through, but I really did enjoy it the second time through.
So it was just a gem. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. There was a lot of philosophical discussions between. There's lots of smart people in this movie, and there were a lot of philosophical discussions about socialism and fascism, and I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, well, this is this is 30 years after World War II, and it's
it is so different from the mindless horror movies that I seem to enjoy so much.
Those kind of questions still had to be on people's minds at that point, you know?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Because it hadn't been that long ago.
Yeah. So, cringers, I highly suggest, if you don't mind subtitles, watch this movie. It's beautiful. It is just it's one of those palate cleansers we get every now and then. The algorithm takes pity on us.
It is certainly portrayed on like the within the Amazon or wherever it is. I mean, it's on within if you look it up on Just Watch, or I think it's Tubi, Amazon Prime. It is portrayed as a kind of classic scary horror movie.
That's
not what it is. It's more of an art house kind of movie.
Yeah.
Here. I don't know if you can see this. Can you see it?
Is that an octopus?
Yes, I made you an octopus out of my kneaded rubber eraser while we were just talking.
You're such a weirdo.
You like it?
It's cute.
You see its little eyes?
You're just weird.
It's got 8 legs. See? Yeah. Okay.
I love you. You're so random.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me. I'm random. Think about okay. All right. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. Okay.
This is what makes us work so well together.
What we probably should say before, and I'm going to edit all this out, but Stacy and I had a big argument in the middle of recording this podcast.
Argument. I think it was a serious adult conversation.
I suppose, but I don't know.
We've only had one argument. And
I think you almost cried, and I know I got a little teary, but we do it for the art. We do it for our craft. We're dedicated to our craft.
Did you just say we're dedicated to our crap?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. You didn't hear something else, did you? No. We are here for the craft. Listen, before we sign off, I just want to say that over the last several weeks, we have had for us, okay, our numbers are real small. We don't have a lot of listeners.
We're not Penn. We're not Howard. We're not
Marin. Yeah,
we're not definitely not those guys.
Yeah, we're not there. Our
and we're okay with that, by the way. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Tempur-Pedic, but you know,
you might be okay with it, but you know, but no, no, we do that. Stacy keeps reminding me we do this for our own enjoyment, but.
And you come with us.
I'm a business guy. I grew up doing business stuff and doing metrics and stuff like that. And so I spend way too much time worrying about how many listeners do we have? Where do they come from? Oh my God, I think this is a new listener. We got a new country. You know, we finally got listeners in Africa. We got a continent. We got a whole continent, you know, and all that stuff. But we have had, over the last couple of weeks, we have had a lot more, what appear to me, looking at the data, first time listeners. We've got a lot of people coming in and listening to our whole back catalog. Which amazes me. But then our weekly subscription numbers are also like zooming out. Not zooming. I mean, we're 250% higher than we were a year ago at this time. But and those numbers are still too small.
You never really at least.
Yeah. Right.
Tolerate us.
Let's do the Goldie Hawn thing. Right. You tolerate us. You're being nice to us. It's titty downloads.
Titty downloads.
Anyway, no, we do. We really do appreciate those of you that listen to us. I don't know why. I don't know why I should care that somebody listens to us babble, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
It's fun. It's nice. It's a strange form of validation. It is a validation that I can pick bad movies and you enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
okay.
I'll tell you, there are a lot of friends who never let me pick movies because I've had this gift since high school.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We would go to Blockbuster, and I was not allowed to pick. And I picked, like, twice. Everybody stopped letting me pick.
Don't let Stacy get the DVD. No.
In fact, I actually got a pick wherever we had takeout from pizza. He was so upset that okay. I couldn't pick a movie. So.
Let Stacy pick the pizza, but not the movie.
Yeah. That was the way that they made me feel better.
God, that's hysterical.
Yeah. So I've had this gift for decades.
We should say goodnight. go watch this movie.
It's beautiful. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think we're going to have to explore more of this movies from this time period.
Yeah, the 70s.
Maybe brush up on our Italian a little bit.
I'm 170 days in my Irish.
You know,
whiskey, that is. No, I'm just joking.
Unfortunately, there's no Gaelic film industry.
Well, it's because Irish was actually, Irish and Gaelic on a whole tried to ban it and make it illegal.
Well,
it almost died out.
Yes, and that was way before they started making movies.
Oh, yeah, the 1600s, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Cringers, that's enough Irish lessons for you today. All right.
I know a couple of Irish words. One of them is Guinness. Maybe I just know one Irish word.
I don't know where it's in name. Okay. Okay, Cringers. Until the next time, keep that algorithm guessing and never be afraid of clicking on that movie and seeing where it takes you, because sometimes it can take you into the wild world of Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga. Good night, Stacy. I love you. Even though we had a big argument in the middle of this.
It wasn't an argument. Discussion.
If that wasn't,
we're adults.
Do you ever have arguments?
With
anybody? I don't care who it is, but because
not in a long time.
Okay. All right.
Usually because I just don't care. Sorry, no. Usually it's just
unless it's a random driver on your trip.
That's not an argument. That's just screaming upsetting.
There's
a difference between arguments and screaming obscenities.
You do know all the words. Yeah. I mean, you call Speedy a motherfucker pretty often, and I thought when we first started talking, I thought, wow, that's a little harsh to call your dog that. But you got much. That's low on the list. You can go much deeper.
I cuss like a sailor, man. I love my cuss words.
Yeah, it's very descriptive. I like it. Good night, Stacy. Good night, Joker. We'll talk to you next week.
When we talk about Manos, Hands of Fate.
Oh, that was such.
That was your pick.
That was my
Stay pick. Tuned, Cringers, because that's a.
Coming up.
That's going right back to the algorithm messing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Manos, Hands of Fate. All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Stacy and Steve's Cringe Fest is a Howard's Day Old Clowns production. Music by Tony Longman. I'm your announcer, Howard.